Well, our first reading in our gospel today tie in very nicely. They're about the church. And we see in today's gospel from Luke chapter 13 that Jesus says, "What is the kingdom of God like?" Now, sometimes the kingdom of God is referring to heaven, and sometimes it's referring to the church on earth. And today's parable is referring to the church on earth. Because Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. A mustard seed was one of the smallest of seeds. It takes about 10,000 mustard seeds to get 1 ounce. They're like little specks of black sand. They're so tiny. And Jesus said that's how the church began, just like a mustard seed, which is Jesus and the 12 apostles. But he says it's then planted, but when it's grown, it becomes the largest of plants, the largest of bushes. And that's what happened. Now the Catholic Church is 1.2 billion people throughout the world. Beginning like that little mustard seed in Jerusalem, it spread through Greece and all over Europe and all over the world to today being over 1.2 billion people. And the birds of the sky dwell in its branches. That all over the world, people are dwelling in the branches of Holy Mother Church. And he says the church is like yeast that a woman took and put into flour. See, without the yeast, the flour, which represents the world, is flat and does not rise. So the yeast is the leaven. The leaven is what allows it to enhance and to develop the way it should be. So that's what the church is called to be in the midst of the world. The church is to sanctify the world, to save the world, to elevate the world, to not let the world be dead in sin, but to be alive with the good news of Jesus Christ. And then if we look at that first reading, this is the famous reading on marriage from St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, also about the church and Christ's relationship to the church. And it's very interesting. I've been a priest now 22 years, and hardly ever has a young couple chosen this as their wedding readings. I think the brides don't like it for some reason. It says, "Wives, be subordinate," or "Wives, be submissive to your husbands." See, Gary Smalley, the great author and marriage speaker, says that he always, when he preached as a Protestant minister, he said this was the elbow passage. Because every time the husband heard that, he would elbow his wife and say, "Honey, did you hear that? Wives, be submissive to your husband." So he would give her the elbow. But then it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." So then she would give him the elbow back. "Did you hear that? You know who has the more difficult job? I think it's the husbands. For you really to love your wife as Christ loves the church? Wow. Total, sacrificial, unconditional love. When you look at the cross, you see that is true love. That is how Christ loved the church. He died for the church. So husbands have to be willing to die for your wife, to die for your spouse. So when it says, "Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. He shed every drop of his blood for his bride, the church. He was willing to be scourged and crowned with thorns and crucified for his bride, the church." See, that is total, unconditional, sacrificial love. Well, then, of course, if a husband is loving his wife in this way, this total sacrificial way, there's really no problem then for her to be submissive to him, to be subordinate to him in everything, as St. Paul says. As the church is subordinate to Christ, wives be subordinate to their husbands, which means to be respectful, to be obedient. And the husband is given the grace by God, if he is a man of God, and if he prays and dedicates his life to God and to the church, then he is being the spiritual leader of the home. He's being the head of the family. The woman is called the heart of the home, the heart of the family. So it's a special grace that husbands and fathers are given to be the spiritual leader of the home. And that's why we need to pray for our husbands and fathers, that they will be the spiritual leaders of that home, to really lead the family in family prayer, take the family to church, bring the family to confession. to really sacrifice themselves for their spouse and for their children. And then the wives will be submissive and obedient, respectful of that authority given to the husband by God. And so this is the relationship that the husband and wife are called to have as Christ to the church. So what Christ is to the church, the husband is to the spouse. And it's, and St. Paul summarizes it and concludes by saying, "And this is a great mystery. I speak of reference of Christ and the church." So Christ is the bridegroom. He is the groom. The church is the bride, the spouse. And that's the kind of union they should have, this union between Christ and the church. And he says it's a great mystery. In Greek, that word is translated into Latin as sacramentum, which means sacrament. Isn't that a neat idea? He says this is a great sacrament, holy matrimony, because it reflects the love of Jesus for his church.